All right, we do have Howard on the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline. Howard, we do know the final 25-13. What did you see from your Braves tonight?
Well, Lewis, I got my color guy here with me, Mike, and it was just a frustrating game. They played good football. They had several opportunities to go and win this game, and they just couldn't make those plays when they needed to. They moved the ball well, but we had several of those guys who's coming back and really helped us kind of get our momentum, Keon and some other guys, and they got banged up again. So a couple of guys getting banged up who had made a difference and just couldn't make a few plays where we needed to. And if we had done that, we could have a shot at the playoffs, but we didn't. They played good. They played hard, just a few plays short.
Now, you mentioned a few plays short, but they were moving the ball well. What was working for Sacristy on offense?
Well, both teams really kind of had a ball control offense going. Of course, South Florence had some big-time athletes who could bust the big play and did. But for the most part, when Keon was healthy, we ran that wildcat. We're running the ball well, mixing in a couple of passes here and there, keeping them honest. But mixing the inside and the outside runs for moving the ball, Malachi McClendon, he was our, Mike and I both chosen to be the premier performer. Another great game, but with Keon back there, really gave us some options, and we ran the ball very well with a couple passes mixed in.
Now, I did hear against West Florence that the Wildcat was a big reason why you guys were able to win last Thursday. How about Hunter Illing and his ability to pass the ball? Has that been sort of minimized within the offense?
Well, we've had so many injuries, and he's a sophomore. He's not that big of a guy yet. We don't really give him enough time. He's getting hit a lot, so he's taking a toll running and standing in the pocket. So that's kind of what's hurt the passing game. So the run is really there to take pressure off of him. Keon can come in, who's a great athlete, and be the quarterback in that situation. And with Malachi back there, it really loads us up with more weapons than when he's in there. So coaches have been mixing him in and out, and that's when we were having success. Now Keon got hurt again, so we went back to Hunter, and really kind of tells that defense what we're going to do and just makes it hard.
Yeah, Hunter took some serious shots in the Conway game a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I do like, just for his well-being, I do like that they are mixing in the Wildcat packages. Just because, I mean, in Conway's got a really good defensive line. That maybe that wasn't every game he got lit up, but there were a couple of cringeworthy shots where I was like, man, I hope that kid's got ribs left.
His uncle is the head coach.
Yes, so certainly thinks about that as well.
There's family concerns there, and he got nailed. The hardest hit I may have seen him seen was tonight. It was a blindside hit, fourth down. You know, he's waiting, got to make the play, and he just got nailed on that play. I mean, he was standing in there. That was a hard hit. He's a tough kid. He wants to be in there taking those hits. If the coach is saying, you can't do that. You know, he gets so banged up. But the rest of the team's banged up, too. We got to get healthy, but they moved the ball. They tried just a couple plays, and when they were there to win it, we couldn't make them.
What was your take on the defense's performance tonight?
Our defense?
Correct.
Good. Good job. We lost, you know, gave up 25 points. One of those was a defensive touchdown for South Florence. So really, that's 18 point, really three touchdowns. It was a north-south receiver, David Vereen, very impressive athlete. In fact, he got the defensive touchdown as well as two offensive touchdowns. So our defense played well with the athletes they've got. Hakeem White's very impressive. We kept them in check except for a few big plays. Those certainly count. We had a couple of letdowns there we shouldn't have had, but for the most part, they played pretty good football.
All right. And Howard, coming up next week, a tough game at home against Sumter. What do you think the vibe is after a performance like tonight where they hang tough and play solid football but don't win and they've got the big bad bully on the block coming in?
Well, I think you just started to paint the picture.
My bad. So, you know, I'm supposed to ask open-ended questions and let you let you really do this thing. But every once in a while, I jump ahead of myself. I do apologize, Howard.
I just like the fact you think I know what I'm talking about. I always appreciate that with you. You kind of hit it, and it's probably our last game of the year. You got nothing to lose. Let's lay it on the line this week. Let's put everything into it. Let's have fun. And that always makes for a dangerous team. So you go out there and you work hard all week. This is it. You let it rip and that, you know, if some things fall your way, it becomes dangerous.
Absolutely. Howard, appreciate you coming on tonight. It is a Soxty loss, 25-13 at South Florence. But as Howard mentioned, plenty to like about what Soxty did tonight, on both sides of the ball, just didn't make enough plays. Howard, we really appreciate the time, man.
Lewis, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Sounds good. Mr. Sparky, America's on-time electrician, is available 24 hours a day and on weekends for the same rate. So when your home's electrical equipment fails, call Mr. Sparky, the residential experts. They will be right over, 888-8-SPARKY. All right, joining us now on the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline, Ian Guerin of the Sun News. Ian, I believe you were on site for the Loris Lions' outstanding shutout performance tonight, were you not? Ian Guerin? All right, I suppose we lost Ian there. Brian is the... That happens sometimes. Ian driving down to the beach from Loris, perhaps he hit a spot of no service. We're going to get his take here because Ian is the master of all of the playoff standings and scenarios, and interested in hearing his thoughts not only on how Loris looked tonight, which is the game he saw, but the way that the Region 7 3A shook out. And it's Wilson and Lake City getting squeezed out of the playoffs, and all of the teams that we really care about, North Myrtle Beach, Georgetown, Myrtle Beach, and both Myrtle Beaches, Myrtle Beach, North Myrtle Beach, Georgetown, and my goodness, I'm having issues. St. James, there we go. Sometimes late at night you search for a name and you can't find it, but all the teams we care about in Region 7 3A, they made it in. So. Look forward to speaking with all those coaches at some point in time about their playoff runs, and of course do like to see that they all get in. North Myrtle Beach had a really inconsistent up and down season, but they do get a shot. They do have new life being in the playoffs. Really interested in hearing Wayne White's take on their performance against Myrtle Beach tonight, because Myrtle Beach was dominant this trip through the region. So the fact that they played them to a one touchdown game, even if one of those scores was in garbage time, speaks potentially well, considering they're playing a Myrtle Beach team tonight that could for sure go on a playoff run. Now, we're going to look to reach out here to Alan Smothers, the TV voice of the HTC Game of the Week here momentarily, get his thoughts on what he saw tonight and perhaps some of the Region 7 3A teams that are in or out of the playoffs. Of course, we did mention earlier in the night the 51-14 win for Sumter over Conway, and that was one of our big questions heading into the evening. Is both teams were 4-0 in Region 6 4A, and Conway, of course, was dealing with the tragic season-ending injury of Brian Edwards, but they had a number of weapons on offense, a very balanced offensive attack. How good were they going to be able to play football without Brian Edwards, and who knows how much of a difference one man makes, but that one was not a close game. Sumter absolutely lays the wood on Conway, 51-14. We'll look to get a hold of Ashley Smith at some point tonight to let us know how his boys did. But we are joined now by Alan Smothers, HTC Game of the Week. How are you doing tonight, Alan?
Great. It got cold a little bit later, late in this evening. You know me, I wear shorts and flip-flops everywhere. So
that's your style, man. You're living at the beach, so I wouldn't expect anything more.
That's what I tell people. I wear shorts and flip-flops in January. I say, hey, I live at the beach. So
amen.
We had a great game tonight, too. It just, North Myrtle Beach started slow. Myrtle Beach, they played well defensively, but they just, there was a little bit too much Elijah Rice tonight. That joker was everywhere. I mean, he was, he made some enormous hits on defense. He caught a touchdown pass, even played running back in a two-back set, which I haven't seen Myrtle Beach do that in 5 years. run a two-back set, and Elijah Rice was the second back, and he had some great runs, but it was just, you know, Myrtle Beach is starting to play like you expect to see Myrtle Beach play, and I'm surprised to hear that they know the region standings already, the playoffs, so North Myrtle Beach is guaranteed a spot in.
That was what I saw from Ian's Twitter account, that North Myrtle Beach is fourth. I know that it comes down to some points. We're going to have Ian on deck. He's going to be on the interview following yours, Alan, so I'll be sure to ask him about that. But they did get fourth in the tiebreak situation over Lake City. So that's my understanding. Now, how many teams from that region are able to make the playoffs based on how other regions shakes out, that's beyond my pay grade.
Yeah, that fourth spot is weird because of the uneven number of teams in 3A in the lower state. So one region only gets three teams in. And a couple of years it's been Region 7, 3A, that got its fourth place team bumped. I think St. James has gotten bumped twice in that scenario. But I think St. James is good enough that they're going to, you know, make some hay in the playoffs.
Yep, they got a tough, hard-fought win on the road over Lake City, 16-14. So they got the three seed. So they're in. They're pecking order-wise. They're above North Myrtle Beach. Now, Alan, in terms of things that you saw from North Myrtle Beach tonight, you mentioned that Elijah Rice was very impressive for the Seahawks. Who stood out to you for the Chiefs?
Gary Class was terrific. He had an 89-yard touchdown run. He had three touchdown carries tonight. He got a lot of help from Daquan Montgomery. Ronnie Bass was good, but three turnovers really was a huge turnover. They had a turnover right at the goal line tonight that would have been a touchdown that would have gotten them within one score. That last score was obviously with no time left on the clock. So it didn't matter, really, but three turnovers really hurt, and they just couldn't stop Myrtle Beach when they needed to. They had them a chance to get them three and out after they scored that quick touchdown in the fourth quarter. But then...
Alan, it sounds like we're having issues with your phone. We're going to ask another question just to see... Oh, no, Alan dropped. All right, well... Interesting to hear Alan touch on Elijah Rice's emergence. That has been a key theme for just about anybody that's watched Myrtle Beach play over the last month of the season relative to where they were earlier. They had a passing offense that didn't have the typical Mickey Wilson productivity earlier in the season, and it seemed like there were issues maybe with trust. There were some drops out there. Drayton was holding on to the football for a long time, and we were wondering who is going to be the wide receiver that would step up, and it seems like it has been Elijah Rice, and he's having an impact on defense as well, as Alan said tonight. He returns kicks and punts for Myrtle Beach, so and also got in running back reps in split formation. So variable roles for Elijah Rice. He's had some gaudy receiving statistics. Tonight he only has one touchdown receiving. But from what it sounds like, Mickey Wilson learning how to use that playmaker all over the field. We are joined now in the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline by Ian Guerin of the Sun News. A lot of road games tonight, Ian. So we're having issues getting and keeping guests. So we hope that we don't get running clocked with this interview. We hope it's a good one.
We're good. I was getting three phone calls at one time, and they were all ringing through the Bluetooth, and I thought my head was going to explode, so I had to hang up on everybody, and yeah, you got dropped. I apologize.
No, hey, it's all right. We just want you to be safe, because without you, Ian, we don't necessarily understand these playoff scenarios, so I would prefer to speak with you 5 minutes later and have you alive and able to explain these scenarios than, you know, have to get through the last hour of the show without really knowing.
I'm glad that the playoff scenarios are what you're concerned about with my safety. That
paramount.
Means a lot to me. In my heart.
Yeah. Absolutely. Region 7 3A, the cluster that it is and was, tell us basically out of that mix. I mean, obviously Myrtle Beach is going to the playoffs because they're 5-0. We did see the seedings that Georgetown is above St. James in the pecking order amongst the 3-2 teams. But where does that leave North Myrtle Beach relative to playoff acceptance?
Well, it's actually very clear cut now because you've got two teams at 3-2 and two teams at 2-3. And so all they need to do is go to the initial tiebreaker off the region constitution, and it's head-to-head. You know, Georgetown beat St. James head-to-head, so they get the two spot, and North Myrtle beat Lake City. And what was our game of the week? It seems like eons ago, you know, and that game that they won by a couple of touchdowns now means that they get the fourth place spot in that region. And what people are really confused about, and hopefully I can clear up a little bit, you know, I heard Bad Boy kind of hit it on, you know, hit a little bit. You know, the situation that they're looking at is because there are two additional teams in the upper state, they get an additional spot, and it goes into the lower state seedings. So you get three fourth-place teams out of the lower state teams, out of the lower state regions. I hope that kind of makes sense. So what you do is you take the four teams in the lower state regions, you match the points up against each other, and there is basically no way that the Region 6 fourth-place team is going to get in because they're going to finish with no more than three wins. So you've now got a North Myrtle Beach team that I believe is 6-4 or 5-5, and they've got a pretty decent strength of schedule. I don't see there's any way, shape, or form that they're not going to finish above that Region 6 fourth-place team and earn that final spot.
All right, we'll get back to sort of playoff ramifications and big picture, but tonight you were on hand for Loris's shutout win at home over Ehner, 27-0. Not used to seeing Loris 4-5 at this point in the season record-wise. How did you feel they looked as a team tonight?
I think they looked about as dominant against Ehner as they looked against a lot of teams the last, you know, 2 years prior to this season. I mean, their defense was giving up a lot of yards, but all seven of Ehner's drives crossed the 50-yard line, and then it seemed like a switch. Like, when that happened, Loris's defense found an extra gear. They were getting into the backfield. They were stopping those big runs. They were basically just putting, you know, Ehner behind, you know, in the second and long situations every single time. And it really added up to a shutout. And it was, you know, just the second time that they've shut out Ehner in, you know, or third time since 2000. And, you know, Ehner's offense is, you know, very tight. It's hard to see who's got the ball. I mean, they were essentially tonight, and they're going to be counted as runs. They were throwing passes behind the line of scrimmage, little pop passes from the quarterback to a, you know, to somebody making a cut, and then that guy was turning around and handing the ball off to somebody else. So they've got all these weird kind of statistically headachy plays that make it very difficult for defenses that are not playing very, very good assignment football to even see who's got the ball. And it seemed like, though, that when they crossed the 50, Loris started seeing the plays better. They were watching him develop. You know, I don't know if they caught on to keys or something, but it looked like two different Ehner offenses, you know, once they got into Loris territory. And it made Loris look very, very good. And considering they're playing a similar offense next week when they head to Marion, you know, if they can do that 2 weeks in a row, then they're in very good shape, but they're kind of getting some of the momentum going at the right time.
In terms of individuals, who stood out on the field tonight?
Well, Hakeem Jackson at running back for Loris. I mean, I think he had 10 carries for 115 yards, and a lot of that was a 69-yard run. But, I mean, he was just, you know, it just seems like he gets to the edge a little faster. And, you know, for a guy to only have 10 carries and really kind of put up that kind of damage, you know, that was big. Defensively, you know, Heath Reeves had 12 tackles and a sack, and, you know, I think three tackles for loss in the game. They had a couple other guys that were doing that. McLeod, their defensive back, had an interception. You know, they looked very, very clean. In kind of what we've been used to seeing from the Loris defense the last few years when they've been one of the best in the state.
So they do improve to 4-5, 2-2. They are playing Marion next week. The Region 8-2A playoff situation is different than the Region 7-3A. Do you have a good feel for Loris and where they stand?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure they're in. It would take something very quirky for them not to make it. I'm 99% sure that they clinched a berth tonight, and it looks like they're probably going to end up finishing third in the region. I feel fairly comfortable about that at this point, but with four of the six teams playing next week, kind of doing the math, the tiebreaker scenarios and stuff like that, it's hard to do because you got two teams that are done with the regular season. You know, you have four teams that are still playing. But at this point, you know, it looks like, you know, Ehner's definitely out. At least that's the way they're approaching it. They don't think that they're getting another game, and Loras feels like they're in.
All righty, let's jump ahead to Region 6-4A, where tonight Conway absolutely took a beating at Sumter, 51-14. I know you weren't at that game, but even without Brian Edwards, would you have anticipated such a lopsided score?
Absolutely not. I mean, I thought Conway had the weapons to get in and out, because when Sumter's played really high-scoring offenses this year outside of maybe South Lawrence, they've tended to give up quite a few points. I thought Conway would be able to at least make more of an impact, especially early in the game. And I think that was a situation where Sumter just, they're playing really good football right now. They're not giving up a lot of points to the region teams. They've got really good size in the trenches. And I think that's probably where the difference was. From looking at some of the numbers I saw from that game, I'm guessing that the Sumter kind of had their way, up front, both offensively and defensively.
I was able to take a look at the first quarter and a half of Carolina Forest, and one thing that always jumps out is when Carolina Forest is physically superior, they just run. And the entire first touchdown drive they had, there was not one pass. It was just a mixture of Diverse Simmons and the Wildcat, or Diverse Simmons as a running back. So they were just giving West Florence a heavy dose of the run, and not surprising they were able to win that game based on records heading into it. But at 5-5, 2-2 now, does Carolina Forest have a shot at making the 4A playoffs?
Yeah, it's going to be very close, and them beating Conway would do a lot for that, because I think they're, you're in a situation now where Sumter and Conway are definitely in. And then South Florence and Carolina Forest are looking at the other two spots. And so, South has got their rivalry game against West. On paper, it looks like they would win that game. If they finish, in a two-way tie with Carolina Forest, there's head-to-head, there's points, from the Class 4A playoff system. There's all sorts of different things, the scenarios that can happen if Carolina Forest is able to beat Conway. But by no means are they out of it. But they're also not in it yet either. So, that's another situation where we're going to have to kind of see what they do next week when they head to Conway. They win that game, I'm guessing they feel a lot better about their chances. Because even if they don't finish third, then you're possibly an at-large spot as the fourth seed out of that region.
He is Ian Guerin of the Sun News, MyrtleBeachOnline.com. Find him on Twitter at iGuerin. Ian, first and foremost, your safety is paramount on this show. I didn't mean to say that your playoff knowledge is more important than that. They are linked, so one is the other in one direction. I don't think your playoff knowledge has anything to do with your safety. But anyways, we do appreciate it as always, and we will look to continue reading your work this week as you sort through the puzzle that is playoff bids.
Absolutely. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thanks, man.